Amen. This past week, I had a fairly interesting opportunity to face two fears that most people have. Most people have the fear of public speaking, and most people have the fear of teenagers. I was asked to speak at Meadowdale High School, and so I got to face both fears simultaneously. There's approximately 1,600 students that attend Meadowdale, and during the winter they have this winter assembly where they kind of kick off a new food drive for the Linwood Food Bank. If you don't know, there's a building on the back of our property that is actually the Linwood Food Bank. And so Elizabeth and I, one of our responsibilities is we serve as the executive directors of that board for the food bank. So the ASB president said, hey, would you guys come? Would you talk a little bit about what the food bank's doing? Would you begin to sort of build some enthusiasm amongst the students, raise some donations for that? And so we shot a quick video. It's not the greatest of quality, but I want to show you the beginning of that presentation. I went on to explain that I had convinced Chick-fil-A to give me 50 chicken sandwiches, and then we had a contest, and we gave out those 50 chicken sandwiches to the students that won. And if you want to hear the rest of how I tied it in, you can listen. We're going to put that video on Facebook. But what we discovered was that students became super excited about free chicken sandwiches, right? The enthusiasm in that room was tremendous at that moment. Today, all of the excitement and all of the enthusiasm is gone. Right? They'll probably still give to the food bank and the donations and all that. But all of the excitement in that moment is gone. We've moved on. Right? The old guy in the orange sweatshirt, he's not there anymore, right? We've moved on. The chicken sandwiches, they've all been eaten. The thrill of that moment of the game that we play, it's all over. There was that moment, there was that enthusiasm that was generated by the chicken sandwiches and the chance to get a free sandwich. Now it's over. The environment brought some excitement, and now that environment is gone. And in life, there are people that live similarly, where they let their environment and what's going on around them dictate their mood and dictate their spirit, dictate their lives. And then there are those that allow their enthusiasm to influence their environment and what's going on around them. And we want to begin to allow ourselves to begin to grow in this area, to begin to develop different attitudes. And one of the things that happens when we develop the ability to have enthusiasm that impacts our environment is it allows us to become more generous. Because now we begin to see the world differently. And we begin to go, man, I can have an impact on the things that are happening around me. Because so often we find our environment, we run into negative people or grumpy people or both grumpy and negative people. And if we can begin to see the upside, if we can begin to see that there's a positive side to these things, then with enthusiasm, we can begin to create an environment around us where we can begin to dictate the mood or the setting rather than allowing our environment to change who we are. You and I, we get to decide what our enthusiasm will be or what it won't be. And you and I, we can decide we're going to try and generate some enthusiasm and we're going to try and change our environment. And on our own, over time, that enthusiasm will start to fade. But there's a way that we can begin to create enthusiasm within our life that will outlast just our circumstances. Here's something fascinating about the word enthusiasm. It actually comes from two Greek words. Two Greek words, they're en and theos. En means in, and theos is where we get our word for theology or the study of God. So what that means is that the root of the word enthusiasm, what it means is this, entheos, in God. Entheos, filled with God. So essentially, anytime you think of the word enthusiasm, what we need to understand, what we're saying is that there's an attitude, there's an approach that's born out of an intimacy or a relations or a connectionship to being in God. Enthusiasm is ultimately generated out of being in God or having God within us or being filled with God. And when that becomes the reality, now we begin to have something that can be sustained regardless of the mood that we're in. Because it comes out of a relationship with God. I want to look at a couple verses that are going to sort of set the tone for our discussion on enthusiasm. And then we'll keep moving through it from that. All the verses are going to be on the screen. They're in your message notes. But there was a writer by the name of Paul. This is what he wrote to one of the early churches. He says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. If you're a husband and you have kids, and your wife has ever been gone for a couple days, and then she, or maybe a couple weeks, and then she comes home, there's that day where you know she's coming home. And you start looking around the house, and you're like, well, we haven't totally destroyed it, but Mom would never let it look like this. Right? So we're like, okay, and I kind of want to make her look like I hold it together, you know, so we're going to try and get the house back. And so you're like, okay, kids, there's this, it's time to rally. Kids, it's time to go. We are going to enthusiastically clean this house. And the kids are like, we don't want to do it. We're like, we're doing it for Mom. We're going to do, we don't want to clean, Dad. No, we're going to do it for Mom, right? Because kids are thinking vacuuming and dusting is useless. But for moms, no cleaning is useless. Right? And husbands, we're like, clean toilets, wipe counters, it's useless. But for Mom, no cleaning is useless. You and I have the same, we can take the same approach in terms of how we do things for God. There's times where we can do things where we're like, this is kind of, standing in the rain all night at a Christmas tree lighting, this seems kind of useless. No. For God, there's great purpose behind it. Paul wrote another letter to another church. In Colossians, he wrote, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Mowing the yard, waiting tables, stay-at-home parent, CEO, leading a connect, whatever it is, we can work at it with all of our heart, and we can begin to understand that that enthusiasm that we can generate out of a relationship with God, out of changing the posture of our heart, saying, you know what, I can do this for God. What I'm doing right now, it may seem useless, but if I do it for God, now suddenly it begins to change who we are. It changes the way we approach it. And in a world that so oftentimes is negative, we can stay positive in the fact that I don't need a chicken sandwich to be enthusiastic. I get to be enthusiastic about the fact that what I'm doing right now is for the God of the universe. I'm doing this through God who is now filling me, who is in this process. And now it takes on a whole new meaning. And I begin to see the upside in it, whether that's being generous with what we've got, whether that's showing up and helping, whatever it is. Now we're doing it for God, and suddenly that enthusiasm begins to change. And now we suddenly begin to experience God in us and God filling us and the entheos that comes from that. For the remainder of our time, what I want to look at is what we're going to call the entheos of David. David's a guy in the Old Testament. You probably heard of him if you've been around church for very long. But as a little boy, David had great spiritual enthusiasm. He grew up, he eventually became king, and what I want to see, or what we're going to look at, is how he had that enthusiasm, and then I want to see a time where he lost it, where he lost that enthusiasm. Because most of us in our life, we will experience a time where we are like, yeah, God is in me, and I'm feeling God, and then we'll experience a time where we've lost it, where we had that enthusiasm towards the things of God, and then that influence began to go away. And like David, we lost it for a time. And looking at David's story, let's begin to see how is it that we can get it back? How can we return to what we once had? And so during the part of David's life where he was working within God and God was working through his life, we want to call that entheos. And it happened at the beginning and it happened at the end. And in the middle, there was a struggle. So we're going to look at two stories. You might even know them both. For sure, you probably have heard the first one. The first one is where David faces a giant. And the story goes this way. There's the Philistine army, and they're facing off with God's army, the Israelite army. And every day, this guy Goliath, he would come out. He's huge, 9 feet tall, and he'd walk out, and he'd say, okay, who wants to fight me? If you want to fight me, come on out. You guys send one guy out. The two of us will fight. If I beat him, then the Philistines win. If your guy beats me, then the Israelites win. That's how we'll do it. And the Israelites are, no, we're not. Nobody wants to fight this giant. I mean, he's a giant, right? So everybody's like, no, thank you. So one day the giant walks out and he makes this claim, who wants to fight me? Well, on that same day, David shows up. Probably got his little sack lunch, you know, he'd been out doing shepherdy things. And he shows up and he's watching, and all of a sudden the giant's like, who's going to fight me? And he's like, I'll fight him. With great enthusiasm, he's like, I'll do that. Sure. And then what he says to the giant right before the fight starts only makes sense if he has entheos. Only makes sense if God is in him. The statement that we're about to read that David makes only happens if there is something greater than a feeling that's going on with him. It has to be born out of a devotion to God. Listen to what David said. It says, David said to the Philistine, to the giant, you come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. If you think that Richard Sherman can talk trash, this little shepherd boy just threw it down. This day, right now, it is going on, and then I'm going to finish it. In fact, he's like, I'm going to finish it, but it's not going to be me. It's not going to be the army. It's going to be God. Hey, giant, I know you're 4 feet taller than me, and I know you're way stronger than me. It's over. You and your entire army, you are about to be bird food. And as a result, everybody will know that my God is real. That type of enthusiasm only comes from one place. There's only one source. In fact, the source of David's enthusiasm was entheos. That entheos, not coming from some human strength. There's a confidence in God. There's got to be some reason why this little kid would have so much confidence in God. There's got to be some sort of history that allows him to be filled with this enthusiasm. It's bigger than David. In fact, there's three reasons why I think David has this enthusiasm. I think there's three ways that you and I can have this same entheos that David had. And the first is that David trusted God daily. As a boy, his job was to take care of sheep. So daily, he would have to depend on God. God, would you help me lead the sheep to water? God, would you help me lead the sheep to food? God, would you help me lead the sheep to a place where they can rest? And there were times where the sheep would be attacked by a lion or be attacked by a bear. And David, when the lion or the bear came, he would attack them. He's like, God, give me strength. And he would go after that animal and he would kill it. So then on the day when David's standing out there and he sees a giant, he's about to face a giant. He's like, oh, man, I'm trusting God on this. God's already been faithful. He just thinks back. He's like, well, there was the day when the bear came, and there was the day when the lion came, and God helped me both times. This giant, please, you're bird food, right? He decided, he believed based on his past, that his God would be faithful in this moment. He trusted God daily, and so there was no problem trusting God in a situation that seemed impossible. The second source for David's enthusiasm was that he walked with God daily. If you've ever read the 23rd Psalm, like if all the Bible verses were to have a popularity contest, like this would probably be like second behind John 3:16. Like most of us have heard the 23rd Psalm, and David writes some stuff about God's protection and his provision and his companionship and his victory that God can provide over fear and his love and his mercy and his goodness and his blessing. And David just writes about these amazing things that God has experienced, that he's experienced with God. And there's no way that he experiences those things with God if he just comes to church 1 hour a week. The things that he speaks about in the 23rd Psalm come from a relationship that's ongoing, that's daily. David made a decision each and every day to walk with God, to pursue God, to allow God to guide him, to allow God to transform him each and every day. The third reason that led to David's enthusiasm is that he worshiped God daily. He continually acknowledged who God is, what God is capable of, that God loves him, that God cares for him. He wrote songs about God's provision and his guidance. He focused on God's power and his mercy and his eternal characteristics. And so on that day when he faces this giant, because he's been telling himself and he's been talking to God about how amazing God is, he's like, I got all the confidence in the world in what God will do. And it all comes because he's already trusted God and he's already walked with God and he's already worshiped God. And he found the enthusiasm and the upside in the moment to say, my God is so big, he can handle this, no problem. He believed in what God could do. And there's some of you in this room that you've experienced that. You've lived in that same enthusiasm, and you know that it's come because you've trusted and you've walked and you've worshiped. And the more that you've done those things, the more the entheos has grown. And the more that that enthusiasm has grown within you, that regardless of the giant that stands in front of you, you're like, no, 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 my God's got this. And if you want that, or if you've experienced it in the past and you want it again, it begins to happen when we trust and worship and walk daily and we begin to pray and we begin to say, God, here's what I need. And then God answers. We're like, whoa, that's God. We start to read our Bible and all of a sudden we're like, oh, that spoke to me. We listen to the radio and all of a sudden there's a song about God's faithfulness. And the moment when we need God to be so faithful, we're like, oh, that was for me. We start going through Christmas and we start recognizing God must really love me if he's going to send Jesus for me. Show up on a Sunday and the message just speaks to you. And you're like, how did he know that was? That's God speaking directly to you. And as those things happen, as we trust and we walk and we worship, this entheos begins to grow. And we begin to be influenced by this entheos. And then this entheos becomes part of who we are. And then we become an influence on our environment rather than our environment influencing us. And on that day, David called out the giant. But then sadly, it didn't last forever because David began to drift away from the trust and walk and worship daily. He grew older and his pressures changed and his life got the best of him. His spiritual entheos started to fade. And if we read David's entire story, what we find out is that there's two seasons in the life of David. There was the time that he had the entheos, and there was a time that he didn't. Two seasons. One, we look at him as a kid and we look at him as a king, and there's two different seasons. And I think in looking at that, we can begin to uncover for ourselves how we can respond and find some good news when we discover we've stepped out of that entheos. Back to when he was a kid. Story reads this way. It says, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Notice he quickly ran to meet the giant. It was like, it's on, ready, set, charge. No waiting, no hesitation. Ran into battle, took on the challenge. David decided, you know what? I'm going to impact my environment rather than my environment impacting me. So he loaded the stone and he ran towards the giant. He swung it around and like a scene in Hunger Games, right? Because the rock flies through the air and it sank into the giant's head. And anytime something sank, it goes in slow motion. Like even there, like everybody's like, wow, stone, right? And then the giant is down. And the giant goes, and just moments before this, David announced, hey, we're going to take you down. I'm going to take you down. My God reigns. Boom. And he charges in. And now the giant and the army are bird food. Because he ran into the scene. There's this entheos. There's this enthusiasm that was born out of his closeness and his relationship with God. Because he trusted and he walked and he worshiped daily. Now, fast forward to 2 Samuel 11. David's now king. Life has become more comfortable. David is king. It says this, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. Real quick, apparently springtime means wartime. And during wartime, kings go to war. I just mentioned David is king. Kings go to war. David's a kid. He runs into battle. David's a king and he stays home. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. If you know how this story goes, it's the beginning of a pretty tragic season in his life. If you don't know what happens, basically he starts walking around on his roof, begins looking around on around the city, and he ends up seeing a naked lady taking a bath on the roof of her house. Now, the surprise isn't that there's a naked lady taking a bath. That's how it's supposed to go, right? But why is she on a roof? Who knows? Whatever. But David sees her and looks at her, and then he keeps looking at her. And then he sends a staff member to go get her and bring her back to the palace, and he ends up sleeping with her. And David wasn't where he was supposed to be, and so he saw what he wasn't supposed to see. And because he saw what he wasn't supposed to see, he thought what he wasn't supposed to think. And then because he thought what he wasn't supposed to think, he did what he wasn't supposed to do. And it all started when he wasn't where he was supposed to be, because kings go to war in the spring. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. So let's contrast those two seasons in his life, right? As a shepherd, with enthusiasm, David ran into battle to serve his God. A lot of you have experienced that, right? You've worshiped God. You've trusted God. You've done the things that you need to do. And so each day you have the sense of purpose that's bigger than yourself. You're doing things to the glory of God. And so you enthusiastically run into the situation to serve God. And regardless of what the situation, you're like, God is filling me up. I've got enthusiasm, so I'm going to run into battle and serve God. But then life gets complicated and responsibilities and become authority. And now David's king. And for David as king with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. He stayed home. He didn't go to war, right? Staying home is way more comfortable than war, right? Then he couldn't sleep, and so he got up to walk around and be more comfortable. And he walked to serve his own comfort. I want comfort. So how do we go from two extremes? How do we get there? How does David get? Well, here's how it happens in our life. We know we should be serving. We know we should be helping. Church or other, we should be volunteering, right? And so then rather than volunteering or helping, we just walk around the rooftop and look around and be comfortable. Rather than giving financially when we know that that's what God calls us to do and there's ways that we can jump in and be a part of things, we're like, yeah, I think I'm going to hold that back because it's more comfortable to just hold on to it because there's some things I need. Oh, I know I'm supposed to worship God every day, but, well, there's a lot of things going on the weekend and church will happen again next week and, okay. Well, I know I'm supposed to serve, you know, my kids are, people are taking care of my kids every time I show up and I could use a break from my kids. And so with apathy, we just find ourselves just walking around trying to serve our own comfort. And when we consider David's life, enthusiasm was lost when the focus changed from calling to comfort. He stopped focusing on his calling. He stopped focusing on trusting and serving and walking and worshiping God daily. And he decided, you know, I'm going to focus on what will feel good. And tragically, so often, that happens to us. It starts to become all about me. And we begin to lose our chance to experience God and benefit from the entheos and the enthusiasm that comes from being in God. And having God fill us. Jesus made a pretty powerful statement in Revelations 2. He said this, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." Essentially, there was a time where that enthusiasm, that enthusiastic nature towards who God is was there, and now not so much. You know, we're coming, yeah, Jesus saved me, he came, blah, 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 blah. And then we just do life. My guess is that in a room this size, there's many of us that could say, you know what, there was a time where that entheos was real, where I was filled, I felt God's spirit, and I felt there was purpose, and I kind of, it's just not there anymore. Yeah, I get this, I've kind of forsaken that first love. But here's what's so amazing about Jesus. He doesn't just kind of call us out and then walk away. If we keep reading, what's he say? "Consider how far you have fallen. Repent. And do the things you did at first." He's like, just get back to what you were doing. Just repent, own it. You messed up. Okay. The things you did at first, when you trusted me daily and you walked with me daily and you worshiped, do that again. And if you've never experienced entheos, that's where it starts. Do whatever it is that you know how to do in terms of trusting, walking, worshiping daily. That's the beauty of Christmas. We acknowledge that Jesus came, this amazingly generous gift that came to make it so that we could be in relationship with God, so that we could daily trust and daily walk and daily worship God. And as a result of that, the entheos grows. And as the entheos grows within us, the enthusiasm begins to develop, we find ourselves being able to be more generous. Because we decide and recognize, you know what, I can have an impact on my environment rather than my environment impacting me. Because I've got entheos. God working in my life. And for David, there's this amazing transition that happened following this story where he'd kind of stepped out of it. Listen to his words out of Psalms 51. He says this, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Restore, right? That means it was here, now it's gone. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." What would your life look like if there was a little bit more entheos in it? There was a little bit more enthusiasm because God was more real, because you were deciding to trust and walk and worship daily. Each week on the back of the Connect cards, I just challenge you to think through what God is saying to you. Maybe for you, your next step this morning is to recall a time you had enthusiasm and start considering what generated that. Maybe your next step is to recognize that there's people in your life that have that entheos, and do what you can to be a friend that they want to have around. Maybe your next step is to determine if you're driven to serve your God or serve your comfort. And then lastly, find some time this week to read the Bible or listen to some songs and focus in on who God is and allow your mind to be filled with Him. Whatever it is that God is saying to you this morning, would you take that next step? Would you desire to pursue Him in a new way or in a renewed way? Band's going to come and play one last song. Before they do, let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for this amazing story of David and the way that he pursued you and then the way that he bounced back after he walked away. God, would you begin to create some enthusiasm within us, generated out of the fact that you are in us and filling us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.